you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be? What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body, because I am more than physical matter. I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
There is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome to Lighting the Void.
Now broadcasting from a shack on a hill in the mossy creek bottoms of Cane Creek, Arkansas. This is Lighting the Void, and I'm your host, Joe Roop. It's Wednesday, July the 22nd, part two of our Dreamin' doubleheader with Ian Wilson. Tonight, we're going to get into the experience this time. Ian Wilson's back with us again. Really cool conversation we had last night. I want to thank our sponsors at GetTheTea.com, AncientLifeOil.com, and Metaphorical Archaeology. Give her a call. I talked to Barbara today. She's doing swell. 214-995-3754. Give her a call if you want to try out this EFT stuff, especially if you've had any post-traumatic stress or trauma from a paranormal event. Otherwise, you know, if you don't, you give her a call, someone's going to say you're crazy. The doctors, they don't really, they don't believe you when you tell them those kind of things. Most of them don't. Anyways, head over to UFOseekers.com, backed and supported by the Fringe FM. That's our ufology buddies. I've been trying to get Tim on here. We had scheduled the other week, but something came up. Don't know what happened. He's just a busy guy, man. But if you want to watch ufology at its best, investigations, everything that I think anybody should learn to do. I mean, this guy should be teaching this stuff. It's at ufoseekers.com. Go to youtube.com/UFOseekers. Give him a follow on Twitter. Hell, give us a follow on Twitter at The Fringe FM. We're on Twitter, too. We're on The Fringe FM. I mean, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I know you guys should be, if you're not following us, I'm really upset with you. And I hope it matters that I'm upset with you. Like, it should matter, right? You're my friend. Give us a follow. That's what social media is about. We're all friends here. Okay? Patreon. Let's see. LTV. I've always messed up that link. It's patreon.com/LTV radio. That's our Patreon link. If you want to sign up there, that is usually where I'm scrambling to get stuff up there, whether it's the tarot readings. The astral journal is probably the funnest thing that you can do on there. Just to be honest with you, like, that's where Amandala and I talk about astral travel. Then we have the Ask Me Anything stuff with Dan Lopez. And then there's going to be some, and the higher packages, you know, you can do the one-on-ones, things like that with me. Looks like we got some new patrons today, too, so I want to make sure I shout them out as well. And then, let's see, any other announcements? Not that I know of. I know I know we will be getting eventually here real soon. If you use the Fringe FM app, we're going to be getting new apps. We're going to get new web players and stuff like that. So if you go back at some point on your phone here in the near future and you don't see the Fringe FM app, like it's not working or something like that, go back to the Play Store and search the Fringe FM, and the new apps should be out soon. Working on that too. All right. So, oh yeah. If any of you guys talk to Patrick Pacho, my producer, I don't know if you do or if you don't, but if you do, give him a big hug and tell him I love him, because the guy's killing it. He's doing a good job. And I really do appreciate him for what's going on with this show. I mean, the show's growing, the network's growing. I was talking to the staff the other day. The network's doubled in traffic. Although I'm not quite sure where it's coming from, but we'll figure that out. I mean, it's insane to me that with this COVID stuff going on, especially in the UK, the digital radio and digital streaming, I think it's went up to like, it went from like 13,000 or 13 million or 20, no, it was like 13,000 listeners a night to 26,000. It was a big number. I'll pull it up later, but it more than doubled in the UK, which means I know it's doubling over here. And so all of the prophecies about radio and digital radio that Art Bell spoke about, if you remember him saying, you know, this is what's next, all of that stuff is coming true. It's just, are we keeping up? All right, so Ian Wilson's back with us, and this is part two of our doubleheader of dreaming. His original website is youaredreaming.org. His really awesome new course, we're going to talk to you about, dreamingforgamers.com, is also the other website. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, Ian Wilson is a pioneer in the exploration of integration of consciousness, dream states, deja phenomena, and for over 30 years, he's been doing this stuff. He's developed an understanding and working relationship with consciousness between waking and sleep states, lucid dreaming, helping others to build their own connections to this stuff. It's fantastic. And he's already got students with this new course saying that they're having experiences with this stuff. He's got 5 books out and has recently launched the new project, Dreaming for Gamers, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Good to have you back, Ian. You back out in the woods this time?
No, this time I went to a nice secluded park. So if there is any interruptions with a random walking by, we'll just deal with it. But I think it'll be okay.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. So I was thinking about that last night after you got off the program. Like, what video game would I want to be, what I want to be involved with the most? You know, if I could control it, force myself to dream it. I mean, it would have to, like, I think it would definitely, I wouldn't do any shooter games. It would probably be like Skyrim, I think. I would think.
Oh, I've had Skyrim dreams. One of my faves.
Or Diablo. Skyrim or Diablo. One of the two. Right? So, yeah. Let's see. I want to figure out how you got to this point. If you can, tell me how, like, your first dream experience with a video game was. Like, which one was
well,
it?
Well, actually, the thing that really tipped me off when I was pretty young, around 8 years old, was Star Wars, right? So it wasn't a video game at that time, but that let me know that, hey, our mind's able to take in information from our waking life and then spit it back in replay in a genre like, say, the movie Star Wars. That was kick-ass. I mean, I was like really almost living like Luke Skywalker fighting with Darth Vader with lightsabers, flying an X-Wing fighter, blowing up the Death Star, but all in that rich realism that dreams provide. How my subconscious mind put that all together at 8, I don't know. But the mind is an amazing information processing system. It has to be, because when we engage our waking life, the amount of information you're taking in right now just to live is astronomical. So it's nature's perfected virtual reality simulator, and we're all walking, talking reality rendering farms. So there's information processing at play, but the experiences you can get from that, amazing. Well, the first game was actually RPG, because when I was younger, we didn't have a lot of the computer stuff that we had today, but I got into Dungeons and Dragons at the age of 12. So, of course, Dungeons and Dragons being, you know, when you sit there and you do pen and paper and it's a storytelling game. But, of course, we have all these visual things about the game and the monster manual and all that kind of stuff. I came across a succubus in the monster manual, and I got kind of all weirded out by the idea of what a succubus was from the Dungeons and Dragons lore. And then at the age of 12, I'm having a dream where I'm with a succubus, right? So it was like that influence ended up creating a dream character that represented that from that game. And then I started getting into like just thinking in narratives from that game and started just creating like the realm of Dungeons and Dragons as if real, but in that genre. And then it kind of just led from there, and we started getting into other games. But it was the 3D games that started to have the best impact. So, you know, like Doom and Quake, those ones started to really kick off for me for being able to have that three-dimensional information of a game had a much more broader impact, because a lot of the earlier games were, you know, scrollers and things like that. And I don't recall ever having a Super Mario game or, you know, but once it started becoming 3D, it seemed to kind of fit the way our mind works. It generates 3D information. So I started getting into the 3D games because they had the best impact on being able to recreate in a 3D environment an interactive game experience.
I got a question for you. And now this, I know everybody's been talking about like COVID and all the, you know, big, heavy stuff, but we're going to lighten up. We're going to start light here, but still about consciousness. Have you noticed when people dream about video games or movies? I'm very curious if they, let's say they choose a character, do they choose the hero or the villain most of the time?
Well, that's a good question.
You've seen Westworld, right? You've seen that show?
Actually, no, I haven't. No.
So
I've been told to watch it, but
it's the same thing. So Westworld is like a, it's like a reality, a simulated reality that's so, it's just as real as this one, where you can pretty much do whatever the hell you want. That's how, that's in the beginning, how it starts. A park where the whole world where you can do whatever you want and no one pays any consequences. And I'm talking about murder. It doesn't matter because these beings aren't real, so to speak. They're conscious, but not real. But my point is I wonder when people can really let go, what do they really choose? Do they choose, if they had to pick it, do they choose to be the villain? And it's not a judgment. I'm just curious about it. Have you noticed?
That's a good question.
Have you noticed that?
Well, I think mostly you come at it from the perspective of the character that you're playing in the game, because I can kind of, well, for example, I mean, it's on the website. If you go to the results page, there's a whole bunch of examples from my life of dreaming in movie and video game influences. And I can actually change my avatar, my dream avatar, to become something like, well, there's one where I became a 7'4" minotaur with a battle axe taking on, you know, an orc village. So, you know, when it comes to the role play and just being that imaginative with that medium, you know, I don't think I've played villains too much. I did have a dream where I was Darth Vader. So, I mean, you kind of switch into characters you're interested in. But for the most part, it's more like a role playing system. So you're role playing a character, you know, if you're getting really creative with it. And I mean, I've been like my character from Skyrim. I've been my character from World of Warcraft, and it's lucid dreaming while I'm doing it. So I know I'm changing the avatar to fit that narrative and that character. It's a very cool effect. So, you know, but that's just because I've advanced so far into being able to do that. It's just become like second nature to do changing your dream avatar.
Have you noticed a magical effect in real life from doing this work? Can you give me an example if you have?
Well, I could tell you, if I was not a business application software engineer, I'm sure that a lot of those insights and inspirations that come from dreams would have been very well served for other video games and movies. But alas, you know, paying the bills, I'm really good at software engineering, so it turned into business applications for me. So that's what I've been doing for the last forever.
Well, what I mean is like, has anything manifested from the dream world into your physical world?
No, not through doing that at all.
Okay, but I remember the last time you were on, something did come through one time, though. But it wasn't, I don't think it was a video game, something about a triangle or something.
Yeah, that was different. That was working with the, as you know, we have deja vu, right?
Yeah.
So some people who have deja vu, they can link the memory and familiarity of their deja vu experience to something they dreamed about days, weeks, months, or years in the past, and that's known as déjà rêve, or already dreamed. Well, that's completely different than what, you know, when you get into an entertainment-focused state in the dream state. It's totally disconnected from that. Like, I mean, it's too outside the rule set of our waking reality. So it's violating all the rule sets. You're creating your own virtual world that has absolutely nothing to do with this world, but those types of dreams are much deeper and higher up on a spectrum, right? So if we look at the dreaming spectrum, you know, there's the arts and entertainment spectrum, and then there's the move up a little bit closer, and that's you get to the weird dreams, like having a shared dream with somebody where two people dream the same thing. And then you can get into the other spectrum where it seems to be future experiences kind of coming out in your dream content and then having it as a deja vu experience later. Well, yeah. When I was going into deep exploration and not playing video games or doing the entertainment side of things, that's when I started getting into trying to explore the question, well, what would happen if I tried to change that type of dream, like I changed all my dreams? Would that have any impact or effect in my waking life? And of course, you know, back in 1998, I went through a series of experimentations with it, trying to see. So I was just doing things like mapping out these layers of the dream state and my own self-exploration of it, trying to work on this elusive precognitive layer that I called it. So, you know, it was hit and miss. So I was changing dream topology by, you know, putting little footprints like a triangle or a square and, you know, just seeing if, am I in that mark? Am I on point to where this focus state is, right? Like, where is it? I mean, it's navigating almost like an astronomical information system. So when I had success, though, I knew I had success because that would come back in a physical event and then the phenomenon or the mapping would happen here. And so that was in my 1998 era. And then once I satisfied my curiosity, I just kind of moved on to other interests because it was like, wow, that's potent stuff.
What I would like to do is figure out how to accomplish certain things with dreams that would keep me from self-sabotage. Cause we all self-sabotage ourselves, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
We do it left and right all the time. And see, happiness mm-hmm. and, happiness and being comfortable and being happy and being positive and having a positive outlook towards the future is really not a hard thing. Do you remember the question I was asking? About how you would go in there to deprogram yourself from self-sabotage in the dream world?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it became more evident that there were influences, obviously, that shape our dream content from our waking life, and we're all exposed to a lot of influences. So, you know, in the earlier stages of my dream experience, I would encounter, like everybody, the more darker side of dreaming, the nightmares and stuff like that. But once I started understanding dream mechanics and how to program and control my dreams, it became very simple to change or reverse or negate any of that. So it became kind of the after effect of, I'd say, after maybe about the time I was 16, I would never have a nightmare again.
And is that the case? You've never had a nightmare since then?
No, nothing like I had when I was a kid, that's for damn sure. It was pretty ruthless, the wildness of the conscious mind. But again, there were a lot of influence that came from, you know, indoctrination, from religious beliefs, the belief in hell, the belief in all that kind of stuff. That's a pretty psychologically impacting thing for a child to think such horrible thoughts about people being tormented, and that there's an evil force tempting you and all this kind of stuff. So your mind creates a pattern that's going to facilitate that belief influencing you. And so I kind of linked a lot of that to just my influences from, you know, that particular part of our culture.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I had a dream about a copperhead snake, and I was explaining it to my dad what the snake looked like that bit me. You know, he said, that's a copperhead. I remember him saying that, and I hadn't seen one yet. I was like 5 or 6. I remember it. You know what is crazy about that too? We don't remember a lot of stuff. There's people that say that, oh, I'll remember when I was born. I don't remember any of that stuff when I was little, but I do specifically remember the very impactful nightmares that I had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've remembered those. I'm 38 now. It's almost 40 years. I still remember those, but can't remember the first time I ate, I don't know, lima beans or whatever. That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, that's the impact of fear, because, you know, our dreams also impact our limbic system, where our mind or brain will start to release adrenaline and cortisol and go through the fight or flight and does a physiological response to fear in our bodies. So there's a strong emotional charge linked to that memory or that fear that can linger for sure for the rest of your life, because it's the emotion that's really imprinted it and gave you a strong, this was bad, stay away from it, survival instinct against that particular pattern. But that's just how we encode ourselves while we're here. So it's also a lot to do with just the potency of our emotions and our emotional response to stimulations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, the higher the charge, likely you're going to remember it. That's why people remember a lot more of the traumatic dreams if they're not trained in dreaming. So like a plane crash or a negative event charges you when you're in that dream. You're like, oh no, something bad's happening. And that usually jolts people that aren't active dreamers to have a dream memory. And then they start thinking, oh, my dreams are bad, right? You know, because the only ones that are remembering, well, they've been conditioned over time that that's the ones that are giving that charge to memory, because it's the most potent of the imprints.
Some of the stuff that you teach for free at Your Dreaming website, what is the one thing that you would say that keeps people from remembering or taking control of their dreams? The one thing that's bigger than anything, the biggest problem to overcome.
Well, that's atrophy in the dreaming mind. That's under development as a skill, right? People aren't trained to and have lost the interest in their dreams, so they're not developing neural pathways, neurons to do the processing required to have a memory or think consciously. It's all just atrophic dream development. So, I mean, people who practice dreaming are stimulating those regions of their mind because of, you know, engaging in a dream experience, being conscious in that dream experience. Well, all of that's being processed in the brain and stimulating neurons and neural pathways, causing growth. Your brain adapts to more of that experience. You know, so the dreaming brain is one of the big parts. So atrophy, I would say, is the number one cause for not being able to remember and not being able to be lucid or conscious in a dream. It all comes back to, and that comes out in fMRI studies that we've had recently showing people who do engage in conscious dreaming and dream recall will have more neural pathway density and more neuron density in all the regions of the brain that facilitate the dreaming process than people that don't.
Is there something that we can do in our everyday lives to keep, to increase this? Like, you know how people do crossword puzzles, stuff like that?
That's what dreaming for gamers is. It's all about cognitive rehabilitation of the dreaming mind by stimulating the atrophic regions of the dreaming brain through exercises and focuses that will cause stimulation or refiring of information back and forth in those regions, doing memory exercises, doing that before bed and when you wake up for dream recall. So that starts to, you know, stimulate those regions again, and they start to adapt quite quickly. So you'll start remembering more dreams. That's why people who've jumped into the course, who are even just maybe they have one a week dreams. So I've had three people now in the 10 that have been running through it that go from that to starting to say, well, hey, now I'm having one or two, towards the end of the course, having up to four dreams when they complete the course. And the reason for it, there's nothing magical. We're treating a symptom. We're treating a psychological development issue, you know, a cognitive development issue that they just haven't developed the neurons and the neural pathways to facilitate dream recall. It's just kind of atrophic in their mind. It's not being utilized. So that's what's so different about this website than any other dream course or any other dream site out there, is that we come at it from the neurological perspective, because it's more efficient to treat the root cause than say, well, just wish to dream, just wish to remember. It's a skill. You're training a skill and you're stimulating your mind so it will develop neural pathways and neurons to do that task, just like learning any skill.
Cool. So, yeah. So it's really just, this is like anything. It's just about laziness, right? I mean, if you think about it, like, we got a lazy mind. That's all there is to it. Yep. We do like to relax it. Well, things like, I wonder if things like TV or watching YouTube or the cell phone, I mean, all the things that keep us, because if you got ADD, I mean, it's like a playground out here now. If you got ADD, there's just stuff coming at you from everywhere. Does that hinder us more or help us more, you think?
Well, I mean, from my case, you know, when I engage a lot of media, I try to engage media that I might be interested in dreaming in. Like, the last thing that I watched on YouTube was a fan fiction of Fallout 3. And I ended up having an influence of a dream being in that particular fan fiction. I thought it was really great. So it just depends. I mean, like, you know, you can look at everything in your waking life as sort of paint for your dream life, because our subconscious mind needs that information and data. So, you know, you can watch Netflix, but now you can watch it with the intent to gather that information to go and then dream about it on the replay. So, you know, you can start doing a little bit more while you're watching TV. You can start watching it going with the intent to start taking that information in and using that as paint later for your dreams. So it doesn't feel like a big waste, because now you get to have that type of an experience when you go to sleep.
Yeah, that's so cool. That is cool. I wonder what people would do. Like, I would like to know. I wish we could do a survey maybe in the Discord. I want to know if everybody could choose the video game and the character they would play. If they could only choose one, which is highly limiting, but I'm just curious to see what you guys would say. Drop me here in the chat room. Now, it's just not just video games, though, right? It's movies, too, everything. Or is this just...
Yeah, I mean, we have people taking the course that aren't interested in video games, and they asked me, well, I don't play video games, so why would I be interested in your course? I said, well, it's source material, right? I'm biased towards video games because I just enjoy them. They're getting really great, you know, like... You know, Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, that game world is amazing. Game. It's got a lot of really great details. And I've had lots of Red Dead Redemption 2 game inspired dreams. And I like that. I see that to me is like the art of dream. That makes it fun, you know? So they're like, well, okay, that kind of makes sense. And you're right. Those games are kind of really artistic. And I go, well, if you don't want to do that, well, pick a movie or pick a book or just even something beautiful that you want to dream about. Influence yourself with something beautiful. And so some people have just been using nature, you know, dreaming of being out in the woods or out by a lake. So right. the source material doesn't have to be a game. It works for everything because the thing is how it works, Joe, is that a big part of dreaming is memory consolidation in the brain for long-term memory, and it does it called replay. So what will happen is we gather all this experience during the day, we go to sleep, the mind has to consolidate that experience, that memory. And so what it does, it then replays it, and then you start dreaming about that experience in, you know, certain aspects of those 3 to 4 dreams everyone has every night. And that's the hack. That's what we utilize as the exploit, so that you now go, okay, well, if my subconscious mind is just going to replay memory and experience, let's color it up with a video game influence, let's color it up with a movie influence, and let's color it up with going out to a park and having that as the paint for the dream of the night.
Man, that sounds, dude, this sounds amazing. Who doesn't want to do this? So
it's easy to do. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, well, before we take the break, I have a link. It's thefringe.fm/dreamplay. Thefringe.fm/dreamplay. And what are they going to get if they use that? Are they going to get a deal or something?
Yeah, well, they get a 1 week free course when they come there, and they can go through that course and see how it actually works. And then from that point, I do have other courses, but they are charged courses because, of course, with this site, I do give personal interaction with it. And I got a discount on a bundle that I did for you, and it's it's the 4-course package, the core essential package. That's your memory, your perception, your awareness, and all the psychological stuff we're talking about, you know, all the essential things that we can work on and clean up in our house cleaning to get to the next level and make it really great. You know, you get firing on all of the cylinders of your dreaming mind, not just an atrophic state. So that's for only $129 from basically $200. So
as these people are saying, that's changing their lives. I'm telling you, like, if you could do this, y'all, if you figure this out, take this course, figure this part of dreaming out from one of the best in the world when it comes to dreaming, you're never going to be bored again. I don't care how dull your life is. You'll never have to be bored again, ever. You could just live your fantasies out as you sleep. And then if you have to come back here and do your job or whatever, it won't be so bad. Right?
No, nice, actually, it makes.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying it makes it nice. I can endure my grind, my World of Warcraft grind, and my waking life being a boring business application developer. But then I go to sleep and I go into amazing dream worlds, as many dreamers do. You know, when we clean up all the noise and we fix all the problems, it's art. You close your eyes. That's the canvas. What's the paint? Your thoughts and experience. Right? So what are you going to paint?
That's a good question. All right. We'll be right back. More of this coming up. We'll get deep into this stuff. I want to talk about some of them coming up. Some of the entities or weird things that Ian's ran into as well that kind of question our reality. We'll be right back with Lighting the Void. Stay with us.
Charlton from Metaphor. historical archaeology. If you've ever had a traumatic paranormal experience, the effects of it may stay with you for years. Who do you talk to? You can't go to conventional help. What we do is we use emotional freedom techniques or tapping to actually neutralize the effects of that event. Maybe when you tell the story now, your heart races and your palms get sweaty. You don't even want to think about it because you don't know how to neutralize that. That's what EFT tapping does. It neutralizes those emotions. The circuit that was recorded on is gone. The energy flows freely and you're free of it. And that's what emotional freedom is all about. We offer this as a pro bono service, but this is something that I offer because no one, it seems, is helping people with these experiences. If you'd like to reach me, it's really easy. My cell phone is 214-995-3754. Please leave a message. I will get back to you as quickly as possible. Or you can email me, barb.eft@gmail.com. And EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. Reach out to me. It's confidential. This works. You won't believe the results.
Hey, this is country music singer and void walker Jason Benoit, and when I need my fix on the world of magic and the capabilities of the human consciousness, I listen to Joe Roop right here on Lighting the Void Radio.
All right, man, this is Crow 777, and you are listening to The Fringe FM.
Live your life that the fear of death can never enter your heart. Trouble no one about his religion. Respect others and their views, and demand that they respect yours. Love your life. Perfect your life.
Beautify all things in your life. Seek to make your life long and of service to your people. When your time comes to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. Sing your death song and die like a hero, going home.
From a cave in the depths of your mind, it's Lighting the Void with Joe Roop.
The Fringe FM isn't just a radio station. We also provide services for all your audio production needs. If you are interested in live radio or pre-recorded podcasts, we're here to help. We even do audio enhancements and voiceovers if needed. If you want to do a podcast or live radio show and even want the option to syndicate on terrestrial radio, from simple audio file enhancement to live production and call screening, we have you covered. We have worked with some of the best professionals in the business in order to provide coaching instruction for content creation, show structure, and more. Contact The Fringe Digital Media for more at info@thefringe.fm. That's info@thefringe.fm. Or call 501-777-5631 for a consultation.
Hey, I'm J.M. DeBoard, and when I want to talk about dreams, I look up my man Joe Roop and his show, Lighting the Void.
Lighting the Void. If you want to tell us a cool dream or your favorite character, who would you play in a dream? You can call in at 1-800-588-0335. Just don't tell me the character. Tell me why, above all other characters, would you play this certain person or this certain level in what video game? I know we got gamers that are listening, and it's really cool that Ian's here with us to talk to us about how we can create this actual reality with our consciousness. Save you $70. You know, on a video game, or keep you from having to, like, because I might just play Zelda for the rest of my life, to be honest with you. I don't know if you guys heard this today, real quick before we get back into, is that Twitter suspended all these accounts that were linked to QAnon conspiracy theory groups. There's thousands of accounts that are linked with it. So if you've been posting anything about Q or QAnon, it was more than 7,000 accounts. And I've been in Twitter jail before, so I'm just telling you guys, there's other places or other code words. But the thing about it is what really sucks is I don't know if you're with Q or not, and I don't really care. I don't have an opinion about it one way or the other. But they call it the fringe group. The fringe group claims deep state traitors. Deep state traitors are plotting against the U.S. In online conspiracies, the term deep state is used to refer to a combination of elites from the intelligence, political, business, and entertainment fields, with QAnon's theories claiming, with no credible evidence, the deep state is at a secret war with the Republican president. Now, this is what they're saying. They're like canceling people's accounts for. But I promise you, you can talk about things like population control, Agenda 21, all this stuff, and they're going to say the same thing. So watch your accounts. I'm just telling you, they're back at it again, book burning everybody. And it's, to me, I don't know about you, Ian, but to me, if somebody wants to say, you know, the devil is real, I saw him yesterday and he's here to take over the world, and they should have the freedom to say it, whether they're crazy or not. I don't know what you think about it, but I think they should.
No, I agree with you. I think freedom of speech is the most important thing we have, even if people are going to use it to sound a little bit left of the field. And I mean, I'm not American, I'm Canadian, but I still value free thought, free thinking, individual choice. You know, that you have the choice to live your life the way you see fit, because nobody else is living it for you. You're going to make, exactly. you know, but the thing is, when it comes to politics and these kind of things, we've seen it in history before, you know, but we got into that yesterday in the show, and I don't want to tie us up because we're having fun. We want to get light, get out of this dark, dreary stuff. Let's get into some fun things that we can do to entertain ourselves and have some fun while we're rocking out the storm.
Well, can you tell everybody the story you told me at break?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cultivating time in dreams is another real perk about this process. So as we know, people who don't participate in their dreams basically lose about 8 hours of their conscious potential in their life. Cumulatively, that works out to almost 25 years of no conscious experience lost to amnesic sleep. Now, people like myself, one of the reasons why I got into real deep dreaming or cultivating time in dreams is because we all know life's a battery, man. We all have a beginning and an end. There's no stopping entropy. You know, let's face it, we're all going to die one day. It's not a fountain of youth, but when you get into conscious dreaming where you're self-aware like you are right now, you're experiencing time. You're experiencing existence as yourself. So you might have 1 hour. You might have 2 hours. You might have 8 hours of consciousness during sleep. Now, when you wake up, you haven't lost that conscious potential for existence, adding to your overall conscious experience. And I've easily clocked and reclaimed about 10 years in conscious dream run time since I was 15. So I've experienced an additional 10 years that I would have lost to amnesic sleep. So there's a big perk there if you like existence, if you like being yourself in a different experience.
I actually do like being myself in dreams. Just me flying around with extra power.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get people to do. Have that experience all the time.
But I think if I could choose a villain, I would probably be, I don't know, who would I be? I would probably be maybe the Joker, maybe. That's probably who I'd be. The Joker, yeah, for sure. Because I think we've all felt like that. I think things get so dark, like you're talking about. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the new Joker, that movie with Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix? Yeah, I thought it was great.
It's a fantastic movie, right?
Yeah.
But people say, yeah, man, you know, it's dark. I couldn't even watch it all. But seriously, you tell me for one moment that you don't relate to him, that you've never felt the way he felt. Like, we all have those thoughts, right? Like, man, I just would like to drag this guy down the street, because people treat each other like crap all the time and use each other and stuff. And you just get sick of it and sick of it and sick of it. And it's not, to me, it's not really a dark thing. Because if you can turn that into a character that will actually act out what he's saying and express something that's really going on. And that's funny, too, when you look at video games and comic books and all that stuff. You find that a lot of people like the villain. Why? Why do they sell more T-shirts about the villains? The villains get a lot more attention. It's because the villain expresses the shadow and the deep subconscious of us a lot of times, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I've done a lot of Marvel, you know, movie style stuff. Like, I really liked Thanos. He was one of my favorite villains. And I liked him before he was popularized by the movies from the original Infinity Gauntlet six comic book series. And back then when I was a kid, I was having like dreams about that series. I loved it. And I liked the concept of the Infinity Gauntlet. So I got to wield it in my dreams many times. And when it came out again, and you know, many years down the road, I was like a kid in the candy store for that. So I had a lot of really great, you know, Infinity Wars inspired dreams, and they were hanging out with Thanos, you know, chasing down the Infinity Gem, you know, and I love that kind of stuff. So in the many, many things I dream, there's those types of gems that shine out, and I wake up going, fuck, that was awesome, man. That was a cool dream. Now I got to go to work, you know.
Well, you know, right. Well, you know, Thanos made some good points, though. He really did.
Yeah.
Made some really good points. So everybody's like, you know, you hate me because I'm going around, I'm just evening things out. I'm putting the balance back in the universe the way it's supposed to be. I'm just doing my job. Yeah. And we call stuff evil, like these forces of evil and darkness. And I wonder, sometimes I wonder if it's just doing its job, like Thanos is talking about. That's the beauty of the dark side, is it's so tempting to justify. It's easy. A good villain, a really evil person, and a really good villain can justify what they're doing as if they're the hero and doing the right thing, you know? That's why people love him, I think.
Well, exactly, right? I mean, it was, I don't know if you ever read the original comics, though. He was trying to court Lady Death, so he did the sacrifice of half the universe so she could have those souls so that she'd fall in love with him. But they changed it in the movie adaptation, giving it more of a, you know, modern twist on his motivation, because I don't think it would have been relatable to people this far ahead. But I think they did a fabulous job, like the... You know, the way they took that series and adapted it from a comic book and made it come to life, and how it influenced all the Marvel movies. Like, that big vision they had was outstanding. Like, what an accomplishment. And I don't know if Marvel can kick that off again, because that was like decades
that was awesome.
Of brilliant, brilliant planning and thinking and putting it all together in a big picture package for everybody.
You talking about like all the recent, like Iron Man, the Avengers? All the stuff that they
did. Well, they were all tying in towards this one big Infinity Wars. You know, they were having teasers of like, you know, in Thor, you'd see the Infinity Gauntlet as the replica in Odin's vault and things like that. And it was all over the place. Like Loki's scepter, you know, in the first Avengers, it was an Infinity Gem, right? Doctor Strange's, you know, Eye of Agamotto was an Infinity Gem, even though in the comics that wasn't really the way it was. But they tied all these little subtle things all throughout those Marvel movies to support this big event. And that's what Marvel used to do with its crossovers and its comics. And so, you know, as a comic nerd, it was like, that was amazing.
Yeah,
so,
it really was. I hate that it's ended. I hate it. And just as a comic nerd, you hate it when it ends too. Like, I remember when Superman died. I was like, what? Like in the comic book?
Yeah, that was awful.
I was like, how does Superman die? You got to be kidding me. It was Doomsday. Yeah. I think I was in the sixth grade when that happened, and I had so many comic books. It was crazy. And I was like, they killed Superman? Get out of here. I think, to be honest with you, it was after that point when I stopped collecting the damn things. I was so upset with it.
I was trying to break into comics. I was, you know, when I was younger, I was illustrating. So I was big. I wanted to be a comic book artist. But unfortunately, as I was breaking in, Marvel had gone and filed for their bankruptcy protection. So the editors and whatnot that I was going through were no longer there. And they had told me that the market's now saturated with talented artists. You know, you might want to find something different to do. Off I went and started working lousy jobs. So it was a bit of a dream killing thing, but it was just a timing thing. But yeah, man, I wanted to do comic books. Well, you'll see it on my website. If you click on the gallery section, a bunch of my art, and that's not even all of it. That's just the stuff that I put there to show people that I like drawing. That's why I treat dreams as an art form. You know, I love art. I think art's beautiful. I think it inspires us. It gives us things to think about. And I look at life as art. It's a wonderful way to look at it.
Yeah. Check this out. This is the cool part. If you can draw... You can draw like Night Stalker's putting in the chat there. And say you can draw things that just look beautiful and amazing, characters that are beautiful and amazing and just really cool looking, and then go into that dream and experience it. That would be cool, right? But that's exactly what you can do. That's what you're saying. You can absolutely do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I have, it's not up there yet, but I have a course just for that, for artists, a course like that for writers, a course like that for musicians. I mean, this, the stuff that I have coming down the pipe that's working off this system, it's going to be revolutionary.
I mean, we're talking about virtual reality here. Everybody wants to talk about virtual reality and doing all this stuff, but what do you, I mean, if, why are we even worried about that if we can explore our consciousness in ways? Again, this is what I'm talking about with the details of everything. If we could figure out how to make things more detailed and time-like, because, you know, we put virtual reality goggles on, everything is in time sequence. It's just like reality as far as time and space go. The sequence and timing of things is right. There's no like weird glitches in the matrix unless there's a glitch in the game or something, you know? So
that's right.
In the dream though, this is what I don't know, just jacks me up, is I will lose complete control of it sometimes and be going, doing one thing in the next, and it just kind of melds into something else. Like, oh, okay. That's right. And you don't even question it. You just go with it.
Yeah. But again, that's linked again to atrophy in your, okay. Yeah, and your awareness. So, you know, our ability to make a choice, have logic, have critical thinking, all these are things that we have that take place in the prefrontal cortex. And again, with a person that's a lucid dreamer, you can see that's very lit up and engaged under fMRI scans. So they're actually using logic. They're using reason. And the thing that's so nice about bringing your awareness to its peak capacity in a dream is it stabilizes the dream. You can stabilize that so that doesn't happen. You're just now kind of going with the wildness of the subconscious mind, like we've talked about that particular element. But that's why bringing your whole mind out of atrophy for dreaming involves memory, your perceptions, taste, touch, smell, and your awareness. And now you're at a full spectrum dreamer. You've got all those cylinders firing at full capacity, having an amazing second life experience that only dreams can provide. True virtual reality that we were born with. And didn't realize we could train it, we could develop it as a skill.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was saying. We need to understand what we're capable of. We keep wanting to buy all the things that we want to do with technology, we can do ourselves through consciousness and through physical life. I really believe that. I mean, we might not be able to. So accessing information, right? So we got Google, we've got all this different stuff because we don't have the memory capacity to hold this much information. We're not super brains, but we could be. Like, if we really focused on consciousness and really focused on memory development, what you're talking about, and put all of our effort and sciences into that, the exploration of consciousness, dream study, OBE, memory, cognition, and just only focused on that instead of, well, let's just keep putting stuff in computers, which I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with, but I think we could get there. People say that's impossible. There's no way. But what are the Akashic records? You hear about people bringing up stuff all the time or accessing information like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not taught this skill. You know, look at all the arts. Look at all the skills that we pursue. The one skill we don't get taught that everybody has, everyone's doing, is dreaming. So you didn't go to school in your art class in kindergarten where they're teaching you finger painting. And then the teacher says, well, when you go to sleep at night and have those dreams, this is what they are. And if you think this way, you know, you can make your dreams more fun. Let's have a fun dream class in kindergarten, you know, and then grade one. Well, you know, here's some more fun things you can dream about. Take your history project into your dream state and meet that character, right? This is how it's going to work with the replay and start advancing the science forward. Yeah. I mean, could you imagine our society, if people were now trained to use that skill and have it developed and not atrophic?
Yeah, no doubt. And what if when we were also trained to where we could actually show up in other people's dreams, which we do anyways, I totally believe that, but be in a state of like a chat room, like we could, you know what I mean? You just go say hi to everybody and go hang out at a cool place. There's already people doing that, actually. The Monroe Institute. Yeah. The advanced level people have done that. They have these places they meet up and do stuff. And they all come back and talk about the things they remember. And they've done it through scientific study, too. That's the one thing that I really like about science is that there are methods that you can use to prove that something's really going on there. But not mm-hmm. The only thing I don't like about science is they're trying to tell us what reality is sometimes. Because they're scientists, you know, well, it's the science says it doesn't, but that, yeah, but you don't know what it is. You're just naming stuff that you understand until you figure out something else. They still don't understand the human brain. Still don't.
Well, when you get into just being in another state of experience that's stable, comfortable, and safe when you get rid of all the crap in your dreams. You know, it's a way for you to now experience that you have this focused state, which is your waking life. You have that focused state, which is your dream life. And what I'll tell you is your waking life is on a battery. And if you do believe that consciousness will move past the body when it dies, it's like waking up from a dream. You're now going to be in that space. But if you don't know how to swim in that space, being dropped back into an ocean, you've never trained yourself, you have no knowledge, what do you think is going to happen when, you know, defending of this reality comes to an end? This is all there is. I'm dying. Poof. Okay. Well, whatever you thought and believed at that point, that access point of exit from this experience, the state's just collapsed. Now you're left with what? Facing it all by yourself with no training, no awareness. And, you know,
that's fun.
That's the scary part.
That's no fun.
So why not train for that? Why not get experience so you know you're not in that uncertainty? Well, that's what the Monroe Institute teaches. You know, I've been there. You know, I hung out there for a whole week, hung out with Joe McMonagle, right?
Really?
You know, it was a great experience. Yeah. He's the only person that I've met face to face. Oh, yeah, I did. I did the Gateway program.
Did you get to the vibratory state?
Oh, I was already all past it. They're even asking me, well, why was I even there? When I went there, I had a written dream down months before I did there, where I actually mentioned people that were at the Institute. This one guy, his name was Vanipal, and he had dropped his girlfriend's name, but I had it written down. I was off by one letter of the name, and I said, hey, look, man, check this dream journal entry. I didn't even know these guys. It was the first hour that I was there, and they're all digging deep into their experiences, and it blew their minds, right? So the nice thing was I went there to see if I could find anybody that knew anything about lucid precognitive dreaming, because I've only met people through emails that talk about it, but I'd never met somebody in person. So they brought in Joe McMonagle. So I had a chat with him, and I asked Joe, usually I go through a process of questions saying, you know, have you ever had deja vu? People say yes. And I go, next question. Have you ever had deja vu linked to a past dream? They go, yes. I go, next question. Have you ever had a lucid dream? No. Okay, stop questioning. But, you know, being Joe and what he's involved in, you know, 40 years military intelligence and the man who stare at goats field of things, I just said to Joe, hey, have you ever had a lucid precognitive dream? And man, his eyes lit up like a solar flare, because that's a question that's not been asked. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And he looks at me and he goes, yes. And we had this talk. So we were having lunch, and he goes, you asked me that question out there. I want everybody to hear this. So, you know, we did that, and he shared his experience with his first lucid precognitive dream. Now get the kicker on this. So I've written about this. I got this in all sorts of books and timestamped all over the internet. And his process for his first experience with that was identical to my process for my first experience. Identical process. What's the chances of that?
Pretty slim. Very slim.
What are the chances of that? Yeah. So that's why I went there, to see if I could find somebody else I could just relate to on that particular unique experience. And I was glad I did, because that was yet another person that now knew what I was talking about. That was a hard find.
That's a good
20
thing.
Years to get there.
That's a good thing, though. It's worth the wait when you find somebody that understands that, or understands, not only understands what you're talking about, but relates to it in an identical way. Right. So that's cool.
Yeah, and somebody who's trained in this for military intelligence for 40 years, a high-ranking military intelligence officer, you know.
Man, that is really cool. That is, well, I've yet to be, we're at the top of the hour here, but yet to go to the Monroe Institute, although I'm a huge fan of theirs. I'm also a friend of the CEO of Hemi Sinks, and I believe in that technology as well. I don't know. Real quick, I'd like to ask you how effective you believe that Hemi Sink is, the synchronization of the hemispheres of the brain with using those tones. Do you do that at all in your work, or is that not really a part of it?
See, the thing is with my work was all through attention focusing exercises, right? Because I didn't have that stuff. And, you know, when Monroe had his Gateway stuff, I couldn't afford it. It was too expensive for me as a kid growing up. So, but I was still having those types of experiences. And once you can kind of get your hand in it without having to have that particular modality to get you there, it wasn't important to me. So I never experimented with it, right? Because I was just already doing it naturally. But when I went there, I got to experience it, and I didn't find it at all not being helpful. I do feel that it did help with relaxation. It did help with going through certain focus states. But again, everybody's different. So a lot of people respond to it really well, and there are going to be some people that won't respond to it really well. But I think for the most part, you know, for a beginner that goes through that, you know, they're going to have some experiences. But, you know, when I look too at how neuroscience has advanced a lot further since Monroe's time. Now we know that I think if we start targeting atrophy in these regions of the brain that give us these experiences, that we can start bringing people back into it a lot quicker and faster. And it would be great with the Monroe's. I mean, I'm going to send them actually, I had just been waiting for the courses to get up, but I knew a few people that let me actually send the course to and say, hey, check this out and see what they say. I mean, it's all about helping each other. And the more information we get that advances us forward, like I said, when you're making that choice in life, that valence choice to either have a consequence or a benefit, I'm trying to make that beneficial choice for not just myself, but for us all. You know, what can we do to advance forward?
Right. Fantastic. You guys go to that website. Also, you can go to thefringe.fm/dreamplay. And you're going to get a deal. What do they get? A first week free, and then it's like 15%.
Yeah, and then there's going to be a bundle. There's going to be a bundle there of the full 4-course package. They're all $50 each for $129 for 28 days of dream training. And it's important because it's an atrophic skill. That's why I made it courses. So you come back each day and you train. You come back each day and you train. You get better. You come back each day and you train. So you're not going back into bad habits of atrophy. And the results come quick.
Fantastic. Or at the top
like
of the hour
to the
here.
Gym, that's, man, you're getting a brain workout.
I'm excited about it, man. Totally excited about it. Can't wait to do it myself and let everybody know how cool it is, because I'm ready to get back into exploring the void. We'll be right back with Ian Wilson. Check out the website, youaredreaming.com. Also, Dreaming for Gamers. It's youaredreaming.org, excuse me. And then Dreaming for Gamers. I'll put the links in the chat. Stay with us. Fringe.fm/dreamplay.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to The Fringe FM.
Are you intrigued by paranormal talk radio? You'll love the new paranormal radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the paranormal radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the paranormal radio app. Free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hey, this is No Way Jose, a Northern California Piscean stuck in the Arizona desert. I'm a void walker, and I got the shoes to prove it. So what do I do when my soul yearns to delve deep into the realm of the unknown? I aim my satellite straight into the night sky and catch a smooth ride on the KTLK-DB radio waves. I tune into Lighting the Void with Joe Roop on the Fringe FM.
Joe, Lighting the Void is the best show on the planet. This is Barney, your friend from Facebook. Thank you and all the crew for all you do. Namaste, my friend.
This is Macon from the foothills of North Carolina, and I am a void walker.
G'day, void walkers. This is Lily from down under Australia. The world may be small, but the enigma is greater. So let your curiosity take you for a journey with Joe Root.
Hey, this is V, coming in from Central Maryland. And I am a void walker.
This is Kevin Dougherty, a beginner void walker. I'm from Vancouver, BC. I know a little about a lot, and as Leonard Skinner said, I guess the rest. I learned a lot from Mr. Root from the show. And I heard it from the beginning. I knew right then he was going to be a New York Bell. Thanks for all your shows, and keep it up.
Hey, this is Derek from Mass, a.k.a. the Night Stalker, and I'm a void walker.
This is Mark from Chicago, and I walk the void to ascertain what is consciousness.
My name is Jared Johnson, and I'm from Humboldt County, California. I do not know all the answers to the questions about reality. I do not claim to know the ultimate truth about life. I seek that which has been made hidden as a part of a family of explorers of consciousness. I'm a void walker. Thanks,
Jaru. Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Have you ever seen an ad or banner which brought you a feeling that someone is reading your mind or even listening to your conversations? Your online data is being used against you. Surfshark is a VPN service that makes online privacy protection easy and attainable. You can use it on as many devices as you'd like simultaneously. Surfshark encrypts all internet traffic sent to and from your devices and ensures that your IP address remains hidden. The VPN service that we use at UFO Seekers Plus 1 month free for $1.99 a month. Visit surfshark.deals/seekers.
We all have that story to tell in our lives. The winds were howling, the ground shook, you could hear rushing water, and then history repeats itself. When there's no power, refrigeration fails, stores with their shelves stripped bare, ATMs can't operate, deliveries stop, then what? These events can last days or weeks. You need a plan. In statements made during recent interviews, FEMA Administrator Brock Long has repeatedly urged all Americans to understand three truths. FEMA is broke, the system is broken. If this is the new normal, Americans can't rely on federal cavalry when disaster strikes. Don't get caught out in the elements empty-handed. Prepare with us by going to preparewiththefringe.com and get your two-week food supply, 92 servings, 8 food varieties with 25-year shelf life. Normally $137, now only $75. Or get a month's supply, normally $247, now only $147, shipped in one business day. Just go to preparewiththefringe.com or call 888-440-7931. That's 888-440-7931. Get this great offer and be prepared while it lasts.
This is Malorcas 45, fan of the Fridge FM, challenging everyone to open their mind's eye. Listen to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop to gain precision for your third eye vision.
Hey, Fringe listeners, this is Dave Cruz, host of Beyond the Strange Radio, asking you to join us live Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Fringe FM. Visit beyondthestrange.com for links to chat, social media, and schedules of the show. And remember, always stay strange. Hasta.
Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex Exum, and you're listening to The Fringe FM.
I think by now we can get the information.
I love magic, and on Lighting the Void, each and every week, you will get to hear shows about magic, mysticism, and many other subjects that stretch your mind and imagination. So when I got my mind on the magic and the magic on my mind, I listened to Lighting the Void on The Fringe FM. It's magic.
May the gods look with favor upon you.
You're wondering what we're going to do to you, aren't you?
Somewhere between abnormal and paranormal, there's a show called Into the Paranormal. I'm Jeremy Scott. Hear me live Saturdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern on The Fringe FM.
Parabnormal News, I'm Brad Bernards. Our final words to loved ones may not fall on deaf ears. As humans lay dying, new research suggests that one crucial sense is still functioning. The brain still registers the last sounds a person will ever hear, even if the body has become unresponsive. Inverse.com reports that a study released in June suggests that hearing is one of the last senses to disappear during death. Scientists found that the brains of actively dying patients in palliative care, some unresponsive, some still responsive, still registered activity in response to sounds. The patterns of activity were similar to those seen in a sample of healthy controls, suggesting that people still hear as they die. Importantly, there's a difference between hearing something and understanding it, but what we do know from this work is that dying loved ones may hear something if we speak to them, explains Lawrence Ward, the study's senior author and a professor at the University of British Columbia. A ringing bell vibrates simultaneously at a low-pitched fundamental tone and at many higher-pitched overtones, producing a pleasant musical sound. A study published in Journal of the Atmospheric Sciences by scientists at the University of Hawaii at Manoa and Kyoto University shows that the Earth's entire atmosphere vibrates in an analogous manner in a striking confirmation of theories developed by physicists over the last two centuries. In the case of the atmosphere, the music comes not as a sound we could hear, but in the form of large-scale waves of atmospheric pressure spanning the globe and traveling around the equator. The results clearly reveal the presence of dozens of predicted wave models. Connect with the news at parabnormalradio.com. I'm Brad Bernards, Parabnormal News.
All right, welcome back to Lighting the Void. DreamingForGamers.com. That website, there's so much demand for this right now that Ian is still working on the website, and people are just signing up on top of it. More people are signing up to take the free week and all that stuff to get into the course faster than you can get the website together. That's amazing, bro.
Yeah, it's well, the other thing too is word of mouth is catching on, because these people are all connected into communities where they are looking for something new to do with their dreams. They got a bit stagnant with the old tropes, you know, the gimmicky stuff. You know, the gimmicks don't work. And they're finding out that neuroscience and proper technique and treating your dreams as a canvas that you're painting on, inspiring your artistic endeavors, dreaming what you want to dream. A lot of these people have been like in it for a long time and suddenly got to program their first dream and dream what they want. How wonderful is that?
That is great.
Dream what you want to dream.
So it's like a four-course starter bundle. It's 28 days long. It improves your dream memory and recall, your dream perception and awareness, overcoming fears and nightmares. And it's $129, thefringe.fm/dreamplay. You actually get 15% off. I want to make sure I'm right about that. And then, yeah, I like it. I think you should leave the website the way it is. It looks incredibly old school this way. I like it.
We'll get it tuned. But I mean, it's I still have a few more courses I want to get down the pipe to buy some more time to do than cleaning it up. I mean, it's functional. It works, but it's vanilla. But vanilla is fine. I mean, a lot of websites are vanilla. Facebook's pretty vanilla. You know, Reddit's pretty vanilla. So the community is what's going to make it look prettier when people start adding their avatars and all their fun stuff and engaging in some discussion on the forums about their dreams. And that's going to come. I mean, it's just brand new. Baby steps.
And they get to tell their stories and stuff too. That's awesome, man. Yeah, see, yeah, this is fun. People are, with all the, you know, we talk about consciousness exploration, and a lot of times it leads us into dealing with the shadow and the whole thing between light and dark, or exploring the occult, which I love, by the way. But I mean, don't you, like, life is short, right? We were talking about this during the break. Life is short. You want to have a little fun while you're here. And don't you want to have fun with your dreams too? Aren't you tired of looking for stuff or trying to wonder what the hell's going on? Don't you want more control over it? I do.
That's what this course, I mean, that's what I did. That's got me into dreaming, man. I, you know, everyone's looking for the big altruistic meanings, and I'm looking at it, you know, from a teenager who's a nerd that likes comic books going, oh, wow, if I could learn to dream, I could dream video games. You know, I can dream comic book characters. I can, you know, my imagination took it to the entertainment and the arts. I'm like, and then I was successful with it. How can you not stop? It was like an addiction. It was like everything around me, my waking life became paint for my dreams.
Yeah. Especially if you ever had a friend that could draw. Like, I can't draw, what the hell. But I got a lot of friends that can draw. A few friends that can really draw. Like, I got one friend that can look at a book and at a character and then go, well, I can do that, and just start drawing their own version of it. And then you think, well, damn, that's really cool. But the cool thing is, when the drawing comes out, you're like, oh, I wish I knew that person. I wish that person was real. It's so cool. Well, it can be, you know. That's the point. I know we sound like, well, damn, we sound like a really nerdy right now, don't we? I wonder how nerdy we sound.
Well, who doesn't like entertainment? We've grown up with it. You know, everyone likes to play a video game. Everyone pays big money to sit in a theater and watch a movie. When you have the perfect theater, and you close your eyes, you enter the theater of the mind, have an intrinsic direct experience with something magical that you're creating. And then you wake up, exit the theater, and you go back about your day. It's a respite. It's a break from the enduring grind. That's our waking life.
Has anybody challenged you on this? Like, oh, this is BS. You can't do this.
Yeah, well, there was one guy that was kind of nitpicking at me. He was curious, but he thought it was a joke. I don't know if you can click on the reviews, but he threw a review down after he started going through it for about 4 days and had success with it. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, whoa, how did I neglect my dreams? Like,
oh, I'm on the website. Not a hard thing to do. Where are the reviews at? Let's see.
So you go to the courses and click on the one for the free improved dream recall. And there's four students now that have written reviews, and I think they've been very flattering.
That's really cool when you can convert a skeptic, though. Somebody that just thinks you're absolutely full of crap. And it changes their life.
I know a lot of skeptics that lucid dream, because it's been proven scientifically now. They're getting more caught on to the fact that it's a cognitive skill. You know, they don't want the woo. They don't want all this deep stuff. But they do want to have those experiences. You know, they want to be able to go and dream and have cool dreams. So they're not interested in the the other deeper aspects of it, but you don't have to be. It's your dream. What do you want to do with it? I don't, it's like anything. I don't tell people what to believe. Believe what whatever you want to believe. It's your life.
What I'd like to do with my dreams is, if it's at all possible, is treat it like Neo in the Matrix, where I go in there, not to do the Matrix. Obviously, anybody can do that stuff in dreams if you practice enough. But what I'm talking about is when he sits in the chair and that guy like downloads all kinds of stuff just right into his head, you know? And he's like, well, I know jujitsu now, or I can fly a helicopter, you know? That's what we should figure out how to make that work. Because if everything in the human mind is what? Neural pathways? That's all it is? Neural pathways, right? It's like creating neural pathways that gives us recall so we know how to do certain things subconsciously and even reacts in the body. So we just need to find something. Now I'm starting to feel like Elon Musk here. Something that we can just plug in our heads and just, you know, program something into us. That's, you know, right. What I mean?
Absolutely.
Damn, that makes me sound evil, though. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
We don't need to have technology interfacing with that because we just developed the skill. It's not hard to do. Like I said, I mean, this is all based on neuroscience. It's not based on anything other than pure cognitive development. You know, you're going to replay waking experiences when you sleep as memory consolidation. That's a scientific fact. That's nothing to do with anything other than you expose yourself to an influence or a source of data in your waking life. Your subconscious mind doesn't care what that is. It's going to store it in long-term memory in dream replay. And we're exploiting that scientific method of how dreaming mind actually works. You know, it's not, there's no mystery behind it. There's no, well, if you sniff a candle or stare at a pine cone, you might be able to dream in video game format.
Yeah.
It's you sit in front of your TV for 30 minutes, play your video game, so you're getting the data just before you go to bed. Lie, follow this orientation and planning part of it, which is really important. Lie in bed, start the REM replay where you're starting to see that now as you're falling asleep, and let it start to form and program the dream. And then poof, there you'll go. It'll pop up. It's just part of memory processing. There you go.
Yeah, but it still would be cool to do what I'm just saying. You know, if you go
well,
into
the
dream
world.
Well,
we're going to get you doing the Matrix stuff.
Sit in
look at
chair.
Some of the courses we have.
Yeah, but bring it back to real life, though.
Like, yeah, that's the challenge.
Right? Come on. If Carl Jung was right about the collective unconscious, and everybody's mm-hmm. right about the Akashic records and all this stuff you hear about in the New Age community, we ought to be able to go into the dream world or somewhere into the realms of consciousness and plug ourselves into, you know, programming that will program us to do anything. Think about it. We already program ourselves in so many ways.
That's right. And the fourth course on the overcoming fear of nightmares, it's all self-programming. It's all getting rid of the negative mind chatter, the negative self-think, and making it positive again. Because if you follow the negative self-think, you're going to get depressed. You're going to have anxiety. You're not going to be happy. You'll lose your creative spark. You will be, you know, everything will be boring. You'll become the great, you know, cynical. Have you ever watched South Park where everything became poop and they're all like, everyone starts talking and yeah, I don't know, it's a self-part episode. Yeah, I mean, we can become that way when we stunt our creativity. It makes life really challenging. And then, you know, when people suffer depression and if it gets bad, they need to be, you know, on antidepressants. But I truly believe that dreaming can help alleviate a lot of that. I mean, I'm 48. I've gone through a pretty grindy life. You know, my wife and I split up and, you know, I go through a lot of challenges, but I'm not depressed. You know, I deal with my stresses.
Well, obviously you can in the dream world. If you and your wife split up and you figured out how to go out on a date with Kim Basinger and experience it in real life, I don't think exactly. It really matters, does it?
No, and, you know, that's what I've said to a lot of my coworkers, because I don't date. And I just got a bit of a cough. But anyways, the point of the matter, I say, you know, I just go to sleep and I go into a second life experience and I have beautiful girlfriends. I have beautiful relationships that are fun and as real as my waking life. So I'm not missing out, pal.
But what about love, though, man? Where does that play into the fact of the dream world?
Well, it's hard to, you know, if you're ready, I might... Dream entries where there's a relationship there. I always tell the girl, well, look, you can be my girlfriend until I wake up because I'm so cognizant of the dream. I'm like, yeah, we can have this little date.
That's happened to me in real life too, you know.
Exactly, right?
You can be my boyfriend until I wake up. Okay. What does that mean? But no, I get what you, I get what you're saying. But it's like, I got to tell you, I'm just like, my dating life's been like that in reality. You know, it's a dream world where you just get kind of, it's fun and you get used for the fun, but then everything else is pretty much par for the course. Don't want nothing else to do with it.
The way I look at it,
that's
I'm 48.
Sad to me,
I have a beautiful daughter. I take care of my mom. I work my job. I work this website. I don't have time right now for a relationship, but I do have a girlfriend overseas, but you know, that's just, you know, like everything, a dream.
Yeah, right. But it's still cool. Like, there's more, do you know, there is right now, honestly, more long distance relationships than because of the internet than any other thing. And I think it actually, if you find the right person, they can help you grow and you don't have to be around each other 24/7 where you want to kill each other all the time. So when you actually exactly. do get to hang out, you enjoy each other's company, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you decide later to come together, you do or don't, because there's too much toxicity out there in the world when it comes to people and attachments, and there's too much emotional terrorism and manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
People do it subconsciously too. Like, they don't really know that they're being emotional terrorists because they're seeing things from their point of view. And it's kind of, you don't know that you're doing it. It's vice versa. So I think the internet's good in that way, but at the same time, I don't want to get involved with, when it comes to dream world, the internet, you know, this whole fantasy thing. I want to get involved so much that I forget about reality in a way where I can't experience and have fun in reality. Cause life is beautiful too, right? There's a lot of beautiful things about it, regardless of COVID or whatever.
Yeah, I've never used dreams as an escape from reality. I've used it as an extension of myself in a different perspective. I mean, you know, I go out and enjoy fishing. You know, I go out and enjoy watching animals like deer and bears. I try to stay away from them, but I watch them in my car. I love life too, man. Life's gorgeous. Trees, what's more beautiful than a tree? You know, they're amazing. You know, everything here is so amazing. People, the diversity of people, amazing, beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I learned more through friendships and relationships than I've learned through anything in my life. It's just, but you also kind of learn, like, who you don't want to be around too. Like, I just don't want to be around this anymore. Like, I love people and everything, but there's just certain people I just can't deal with. And I've always thought, man, damn, I'm a bad person because I just don't want to be around these people. But are you really a bad person? Like, and how do we deal with that in the dream world? Well, we can go to a place where we're just around cool people all the time. Maybe.
That's right.
You know? So it kind of is an escape for me, I would say, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Do you think it's a bad thing to escape every day?
No, I don't see it as an escape. I see it as another opportunity to have direct experience that you could learn and have intrinsic meaning and purpose in. You're not going to ever stay there. You're going to come and wake up, and then you can drive. Well, hey, you know, that dream kind of gave me an insight about some of these problems I was working on. Hey, it gave me a solution. You know, I can see where my problems lie. Well, I'm going to make this course of action. Dreams can be insightful. They can be self-edifying. You know, it's a resource we can utilize as a tool for better mental health, you know, for inspiration, for problem solving. I mean, all of that's in the literature. All that's on the benefits of dreaming part of the first course.
I want to look at things too, like the placebo effect, Ian. The placebo effect, I think, is really, it's one of the most fascinating things to me about life. It's like the key to magic manifestation, everything to me, everything that I've been studying, right? So if we can use the placebo effect to convince our minds that something's real in the dream world, and in fact it is, what if there was a way that we could turn it off when we wake up? Let's say, for instance, you know, when you're in a dream world and you have everybody's had this awesome dream, whether, you know, you're at a place or you're at this magical place in the universe, or you're, you know, experiencing something with a celebrity or a person that you've never experienced, whatever. But there's always this like nostalgia to the dream that sometimes I'll wake up and go, oh man, I can't explain the feeling or the nostalgia of it, but I just want to go back, right? You get emotionally attached to the dream, kind of. But what if you could, all the stuff, my point is that you do in the dreams that make you happy, that help you and help you extend your consciousness, help you with mental behavior, if we could tap into the placebo effect when we wake up, it's kind of crazy to think about, but when we wake up and turn that switch off to where it doesn't say, okay, to where your mind doesn't say, okay, you're back in reality now. All of that was a dream and it wasn't real. That's what your subconscious says a lot of the times. It wasn't real. It was a dream. You're back in reality. So all of that stuff you experienced, all those feelings, you know, you're not going to, that was fake. If there was a way we could turn that off there, I wonder what our physical reality would be like, you know?
Physical reality is amazing. I kind of get to what you're saying. I mean, when we go into these amazing dream experiences, you know, one of the things is that's an experience that's gained. Our waking life is just an experience too. It's just that it has a much more strict rule set. It has continuity and persistence.
Yeah.
Dreams can have short-term continuity and persistence, but our waking life has a much longer duration of time for that continuity and persistence. And it's also a, you know, if we look at it, it's a social experiment where we're all trying to get together and be either destructive to this planet as a species or cooperative and forge forward for the betterment of the next generation and the next generation, rather than just one person trying to keep it all for themselves before they die. You know, it's a very complex world, but the thing is, you know, it's our world and we're a part of it, but you know, if you go really deep, you'll find out that the universe and what you are and your thread in this universe is far, far greater than Earth. You know, Earth is just a part of a much larger, you know, omniverse of experiences that we're having. It's just a very immersive one, and it's got its purpose and its role. And we're, you know, I think when you look at it, it's like, imagine always existing and not having even this experience. Like, if you knew that you would survive this experience, but to come here, you have to endure all this stuff. But, you know, is it better to have something than have nothing? Like, it's not that bad. You know, there's a lot to be gained in each life. I mean, I think there's a lot of richness and value in this planet. I love it. I mean, the culture, everything, people. It's a real resource of experience. Wonderful.
I wonder, though, some of the weird things that have happened to you. Because if we think about, like, Robert Monroe, what he did was he had this weird language he talked about when he would go into these states and say, well, I flipped and turned 360 and went through the hole. You don't even really know what he's talking about, right? And he's like, Now I'm living this life with this other family in this other place. And he stays there for months, man.
Yeah, he was good at stretching time.
And then comes back, and I'm thinking, we're calling this like consciousness or the dream state. And then you read like Carl Jung, and even the entities tell him in these books, they're like, I know you think we're not real, but we're far more real than what you think. And it's like, what's going on here? So, yeah, I wonder sometimes. I don't know how you do it, man, without losing your... I mean, you've been doing this for like over 30 years. Has there ever been a moment where you lost touch with what was real and what wasn't?
No, not at all. It's easy to filter between those two focus states. And the reason why, you know, again, for me, reality is very set in its rules. You know, it's very thick. It's you just know it when you're here, and you know it's continuity, and you just know that. The dream state's very aloof, playful, can be changed on a whim, you know. And I've never had what's called, you know, DRC or dream reality confusion, which some people can get, right? False awakening loops could be a good example of a momentary DRC where you think you're in reality and you're going about your day and then you wake up again in a false awakening loop. But when you get good at dreaming, you know right away when you're in a dream, because it's not dense and physical like it is here. It's light. And so you can just start to float, you know, to fly.
I see what you're saying. Like, you have a very logical and practical mindset about this at the same time. Willing to explore what reality is. That's very cool, man. That's a rare thing, actually.
It's just an entertainment system for me. It's just a vacation destination. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to take a nap and go somewhere and do something productive with that experience and have fun.
So would you say that you're a spiritual person then at all?
Well, I mean, that's just like a label. I'm just like all of us. I'm, you know, a self-aware entity experiencing waking reality and dream reality in two different focus states, shifting my focus when I sleep.
I understand.
And to me, they're both equally valuable. They both have treasures. They're both rich in experience.
Yeah, so I'm just living. We put these labels on them too, I think, like 3D and 5D and all this stuff. And see, I am an occultist, right? I do study these things and I do practice some of them, but I am starting to find that I feel like I'm changing a little bit in a way that we assume, well, I think we get addicted to a lot of eccentric things that we're not, we think we know. We really think we know about these entities, and we really think we know what this is and all these different categories of elementals and demons and all this other stuff. But I'm not so sure that it's not just one big ball of dream state. And even the New Agers would say, yeah, well, duh. But if it's yeah, well, duh, then why do we talk about it as if it is a fact when we talk about these things so much? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the thing is, people still have to develop operating in two different focus states, you know, waking life, dream life, waking life, dream life. But the dream life can be better than the waking life. That's going to be the allure. But like I said, the only time I ever used it for escape was during lockdown. And I was like, fuck it. I'm sorry. I was like, no, I'm going to sleep and I'm going to stretch out my dreams. And I started doing time cultivation and I was having dreams that were lasting hours and days.
That's all.
Each night. I was like, you know, what if this thing's real? And what if 2 months is all that we have left? I'm going to now vacation. So I just went out and had a blast, you know?
And then when things kind of settled down in a dream, though, I don't mean to cut you off, but how do you do that?
Well, I came across that. It was crazy. I had this, first you have to have an introduction to it. I mean, there's lots of people that practice this and then encounter what we call durée or extended time, or the perception of time stretches in the dream state. And what happened was, you know, I was younger and I had to go to work, but I had some time to sleep. So I was gonna do some dream stuff. So, set my alarm, laid in bed and entered into a dream. And I started having this really long dream where I was at an art college and working as a barrister at a coffee shop and going out to nightclubs with friends. And I was taking all these art courses, lifestyle courses. But I knew I was dreaming. So I was in there and it went on for the first day. And then I was like, oh, geez, I'm still dreaming. Okay, well, let's just keep pushing it. You know, I wasn't worried about it. And so I thought I'd wake up and I went to bed, because quite often you would go, if you're in a dream and you go and you lay down and sleep, you're going to wake up in your waking life. So I go and I go to sleep and actually go and have dreams, right? Mm-hmm. From that dream character's perspective. And I wake up and I'm back in this other second kind of life. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, I'm back here. Okay, well, let's just go with it. I just went with it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. I'm learning art. Maybe I'll learn something here. So I'm going to life drawing classes and I go to work and I'm serving coffee. And then I have friends there. I know their names.
Yeah.
You know, we go out, same thing, go to the nightclub, drink beers. I go back, I think I'm probably going to wake up when I sleep, you know? And so I go and I lay down and I wake up and I'm back in there again. I'm like, oh, wow, you know?
So you kept going back to the same place.
Actually, it went on, that one went to about 2 weeks. That was so it went on for about what it seemed like 2 weeks. And then finally I started panicking. I'm like, okay, I've been here I knew I was there for like a long time. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty cool with this dream stuff, but this is really pushing it, Ian. You know, something might be wrong with your body, right? So I went and pulled, you know, a release from it. So I'm like, okay, you know, I focus on my body, you know, and I just get it to do something else. And I wake up and I'm like, oh damn, I'm probably late for work. I probably slept in. I look at the clock and it was only 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. And so you kept going back to this same place over and over again, huh?
Yeah. And it had continuity, you know, it had a complete structure to it. You know, you wouldn't think it wasn't just another second life. Except for it was a dream and I woke up with just that experience gain. And I looked at that, and I went, wow, that was like a lot of experience of time. And that's what got me cultivating time and dream. I was like, okay, I'm going to keep trying to achieve that. And it was hard to do. It wasn't easy. I think only in my life, maybe two or three really solid lucid dreams that seemed to last, but never past the 2 week mark. But I met a Indian dream yogi who said he's done 10 years. I've talked to other
10
people.
10 years. Say, that's so crazy, yeah. Man.
And some people have contacted me over the years claiming they've lived two entire second lives in the dream state. And, you know, you get it in drug culture with DMT and stuff like where people experience long durations of time. In fact, there was, you know, somebody was working on a prison pill. They thought they could give to a prisoner and they would experience like 1,000 years because of this certain drug. So they're aware that, you know, our perception of time can shift and we can have a sense of a longer sense of time than reality's runtime or clock time.
Well, I remember watching a video when the guy on the Joe Rogan took salvia and just wigged out from taking salvia and flopped all over the place. But when he came back on the podcast and talked as if he went and lived a different life with his friends. And he said it was like 3 or 4 weeks. Like he remembered all of it, but he was only on salvia for like 20, 30 seconds, maybe, or no, probably longer than that, maybe a minute. But my point is if that's true, then who's to say we're not doing that already?
Yep.
Isn't that the trippy part, right? Like when you die, you just wake up and go, damn, that was a long dream. And you just keep repeating this. So it's kind of like what you were talking about where you're having the dream over and over again and you can't wake up. I keep forgetting the name of it, but it happens.
False awakening.
Yeah, I've had that. So it's kind of like maybe we're in these, we call it reincarnation or whatever, but maybe we're in we just keep getting these false awakenings or something. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, it's like, whatever the case may be, look at what we get to experience. I mean, the age of this universe is astronomical. Earth, look at the age of Earth, astronomical. We're just in this small little blip of time, this one little
the
moment.
Pale we get blue to dot. Yeah.
All up, you know, but we're coming at it from this really subjective paradox, right? So that the subjective paradox is that every living system here in this three-dimensional reality experiences reality subjectively, even though subjective. The subjective paradox is why people can have experiences other people can't, you know, and can't validate because, you know, we are so separated by.
Once you start believing stuff, once you start like making judgments and beliefs about everything and categorizing things, you kind of like cut yourself off from experiencing stuff, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes the art of proper dreaming is letting go all of your physical expectations and don't drag that into the dream state. You know, you leave what's physical with its rule set, with its story there. Don't drag it in with the dream. Let the dream just be a free flow of experience, unhinged from the limitations of physical gravity, all that kind of stuff. So you can fly, you can warp, you can do whatever you want, stripping away the limits in your dream state. So you're not treating your dream entirely as another physical system because you're habituated to that experience. And that can really open some fun doors for exploration.
Absolutely. Because I can tell you for sure, there was quite a few dreams I would have loved to have gone back to, you know, and to be able to do that, to open your eyes and go, man, I want to go back there. Close your eyes again, go back into that state and go back to that same place. People have told me that's impossible, but I know I've done it a few times. It sounds to me like you're good at it.
No, there's persistent dream world building. I very few people I know actually do that, but I have had a few people that are big into persistent dream worlds. So just like a reoccurring dream, you know, we all have experienced that reoccurring dream at some point in our life. Well, a persistent dream project, let's just put it that way, is one where someone's going back and building and expanding upon this particular dream world that they've fallen in love with and they're working on. They're developing it. They're creating new things in it. And that's kind of a cool, fun thing to do. You know, I actually had one back when I was younger. I used to call it Lucid Metro, which was a city that I would return to over and over again. I was teaching a Dreamers class. It was Dreamers class 101. I had all these students and I would teach them all about dreams. And I was a professor. And it was all the kind of stuff we're kind of talking about right now.
So what do you think that certain thought forms and entities are? Like, I'll give you an example. I don't know if you're familiar with things like Cthulhu, stuff like that. People are really into those stories. And Lovecraft stuff. So we had a show a long time ago that had a couple of people on talking about their dreams. And one of them was talking about being attacked by a squid, and the squid was attacking them in a way. It was one of the most intense shows I've ever done, just because it was so vivid. I guess I could visualize what was going on. And this person was trapped. It's like they couldn't get away from the squid, but the squid was almost like having their way with the person at the same time. But then, and it was like, as they were telling that story, I felt like I've been there before, but in a different way. You remember me telling you about those succubus kind of women that would come in when I was younger, you know, and do that to me?
Yeah. I kind of had that too, right, with the succubus from Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, so there's these things, but here's my point. not only are there things and dreams that like just take advantage of you and just use you, and yet even though you feel the pleasure of it or whatever, you still feel used and scared and messed up. But I got to studying that too, and there are several people that had that dream about that the squid, or it wasn't all the same. It wasn't all the same, like exactly how they described it, but it was all like either a giant squid, giant octopus, giant squid-like thing that was doing certain things to them. You know, now
I haven't bumped into that in my dreams. Scanning, I can't see any reference points, but. Haven't had the I've had dreams with Cthulhu in it, but it was very playful, and it was like you know, battling Cthulhu and stuff like
You have had the succubus thing, right? Like a lot of people have had that too.
That came about it was very clearly influenced by the monster manual of Dungeons and Dragons, 100% an influence from that, because I was looking at that character, and of course being a young boy and kind of a cute cartoon drawing, they made it kind of sexy. So, you know, back in my mind, you're obviously thinking something, right?
You know, and what mine looks like was Elvira. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, and so it was a very beautiful woman. And it was basically because now we're coming into boyhood where you're developing certain things. So my introduction to my first dream of that particular nature was with a succubus from Dungeons and Dragons. So, I mean, but I was 12 at the time, you know, this is just some of the millions of things that I've dreamed,
So you don't think they're related, right? You think there's not these thought forms that can travel in and out between, and they may look different to certain people's minds in different ways, but they're, I don't know. I just read too much about like the old hag, the hooded figures, all of these things.
Let's talk about that, because I've encountered during sleeper paralysis when I was younger, I don't have it anymore. So you get the old hag, you get the goblin at the edge of your bed, you get the, you know, evil entity, shadow people, right?
Right.
Well, when I was getting good at this stuff, when I was starting to really start to peek out, you know, of course, now I'm used and orientated. I know the state a lot better. So one time I go into that state, sleeper paralysis, and all of a sudden there's like a devil there. And he's like, you know, I control you and manipulate you and all this evil stuff. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, what? You know, you're just an artifact of my subconscious. And I just focused on it. And you know how we have hypnagogic fractals? I just twisted it and turned it into a mesh of hypnagogic fractals and then made it dissipate.
Wait, you just asked me a question as if I know what you're talking about. What's a hypnagogic fractal?
So when we sleep, sometimes we see fractals, like phosphine fractals. So they can be like a Mandelbrot fractal, you know? So have you ever seen those mosaics of geometrical clouds and shapes?
Yeah.
Called a fractal?
Yeah, yes,
yeah. Well,
yes.
You can sometimes see that fractal when you close your eyes and fall into sleep. It's known as hypnagogia. You can get it when you take anethogens like DMT will go and give you a hypnagogic shift, you know? So it's going to have that. And that's probably a tryptamine that's being released during that process causing that fractal. But I noticed that fractal in all of the dreams. That's the one thing that I can strip the bitmap off of a dream and I'll see the hypnagogic mesh behind it. It's almost like a meshing system in a computer game. So all I did was turn it into its meshing system. You know, you're just nothing more than just an animation for my subconscious, and poof, never had a problem with the old hag or the sleeper's paralysis or anything like that after that point.
No squids or succubuses anymore, you know?
No, the succubus was only once.
Well, my point is the squid.
Almost disappointment in that.
Yeah. My point is the squid is talked about. I found it on the internet. There were a bunch of different people talking about this thing. Well, what is a squid? It's like this thing that's got all these different legs that can move in ways that you can't, that can do things that you can't. Incredibly resilient, right? So it's like the perfect entity or animal or whatever you want to call it to torture or trap or make you feel like you can't get away from something, you know? Think about that.
Well,
like
dream control, all those archetypes like walking slow. There's a lot of Jungian archetypes that we'll go through, like losing teeth, pulling hair out of your mouth, feeling, you know, like you can't move. All these things are, you know, I think they're there as part of the human experience encoded into a lot of people, because I haven't encountered the squid one, mind you, but had I have, I would definitely let you know. But certainly I have actually not quite true. Believe it or not, I have it on my page there, but it was an octopus, not a squid, where I became my arcane rogue. There was
kind of
a
the same
little
thing, though. I mean, like, kind of.
But a lot of that can be conjured. You know, when you start programming your dreams, you know that your thoughts are making this, experience, that you're in control, nothing else is influencing it. And you'll get that in my nightmare section about influences. And now you become the influencer of your dream with no other outside influence for what you want to experience. And that's a very different way of looking at the dream state. Because right now, when we have expectations of something there might influence us or another entity might be there, your subconscious mind is like, okay, that's what you're programming for your dream tonight. So here's your little influencer. Here's your little demon. But, you know, you have to understand how we influence that state. And I get into that in the courses there, that a lot of that can just be archetypes of influences from culture and stuff, our belief systems and things like that.
I do believe that it gets passed down. I do believe in the collective unconscious. I really do.
Yeah, I do as well. I do think that there is, that we're all interconnected. The universe is threaded, that everything came from a singularity that moved into a information manifold, you know, that it was a single point, but it was self-awareness. And then it expanded into the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth dimensions as information. And that all of us became nodes, just little nodes in that whole big canopy of an omniverse. And here we are as little actors in the stage of that experience. But we're all from that oneness, that unified field of consciousness, the expanding, collapsing universe, you know, the miracle of what.
These narratives play over and over again, too. I think when people go through certain things in their life, and I found this thing about it, you know, and I know I'm being incredibly specific here, but it helps me understand this, too. So knowing what you know, and then we don't have to be like a victim to when these things happen to us. So this was when I did some research, and there's this story called The Dream of the Fisherman's Wife. Have you heard of it?
I have.
It's crazy, right? It's like a girl diver and an octopi go at it, and these octopi have their way with the girl and torture and all this stuff. And this goes way back, and then you look back and there's more stories like this. And it's thinking, well, if this thing is happening to certain people nowadays, then the collective unconscious is mostly real, because the person that told that story when we were doing that on the show had no idea why that happened. It just happened to them. You see what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't come across
it. Yeah, it's not like they manifested it or anything. It just happened. And you think, well, that's so random. Well, it's not random. It's a story that's happened to a lot of people, but in different ways, if that makes sense.
It does, absolutely. And that's why we get into, like I say, the wildness of the subconscious mind and learning how to operate in that space, that you're not affected by a lot of the influences, you know, because nothing has power over you in your own dream. You know, you're the dream artist. You're the one creating that experience. But when you give in or let go of that creative spark of yourself, you know, you start to recede into the subconscious murmurings, the drama. You'll notice if you read my dream journals that I stop and pause dream drama, or I'll ignore dream characters that try to engage just so I can have a clear, stable focus. I mean, you start getting really good at just navigating being in that state where nothing phases you. You know, I've been bitten snakes and died. I've been had my face ripped off by a bear. I mean, I've been shot by a tank. I've been poisoned. I've been stabbed. I've been fallen off buildings. Instead of waking up, I go splat. The amount of times that I've died in my dreams, I've been shot. I mean, it just goes on and on, you know, when I was younger. Right? When I was starting to, you know, but the thing is, as I got good at the experience, if those things happen to me now, it's just like part of the role play. It's, oh, my avatar died, big deal. Spirit graveyard to wake up, or I move on to another dream, you know. I used to go and stand right in front of a bus just for fun, you know, in the dream state, knowing, because it was super ultra real, but I was just proving to myself it was a dream and getting rid of all that uncertainty and doubt. And sure enough, the bus will hit me and it passes through me.
Well,
so I experienced a lot of that kind of stuff. It was fun.
I know it's fun. I get your point. Like, I know what you're saying about that, right? Make it fun. Try to make it fun. At least I think I know. You can correct me, but make it fun. Make it more aware. Have more control over it. Like, really make it awesome.
That's right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I am probably more, which I'm definitely going to take this course, but I'm more interested in the relationship between the dream world and our waking life, like, how those things relate. So I'll tell you this real quick story, and then you tell me what you think is happening there, if it's coincidence or if it's real life. When I was 16 years old, there was a cabin that we used to go out to all the time where we would escape. And I went out there with my girlfriend, and it was dark, and we parked. We just parked, and it's in the woods. It's completely dark. There's no street lights or anything like that. So we lay the seat back and we start, you know, like making out or whatever. Best thing to do in high school and junior high is make out, right? So like, that's what we're doing. And the car moves, like something moves the car to where you can feel it, like something, it's either sliding or being pushed from and by the back, like something just shoves it, you know? And so she's driving a standard and I'm thinking, okay, well maybe her foot's on the clutch. Maybe she's tapping the clutch or something. So I lean up and it's kind of hard to lean up because the seats are all the way back. So I kind of push myself up and I'm like, what did you do? She's like, I don't know. Maybe I tapped a clutch or something. And he's like, well, never mind. So we start going back at it again. And then, you know, about 30 seconds, this is time it did it twice. Boom. I'm like, boom. Something's definitely, I feel like something's definitely pushing us. But my rational mind is saying, well, maybe we're on a hill. And if anybody knows anything about the standard, you know, if you're on a hill and especially if it's gravel, the clutch could be slipping. You could be sliding or something. Right. But I was thinking, okay, well, I'm going to go out and look. And this time we were both kind of looking at each other. It was so dark when we set up and looked at each other. All I could see was her silhouette. And I opened the door and then the light come on and she reached across me and slammed the door. She's like, don't go out there. And I'm like, something's out there pushing on the car. We're out in the middle of the woods. Like, I'm not going to just sit in here and let it, whatever it is, you know, do whatever it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out of the car. I walk around. I don't see anything, but I can kind of hear something moving around. But it's so dark, I can't see anything. And she's telling me, she's like, get back in the car. She's like, get back in the car, Joe. Get back in. So I get back in the car, and she wants to leave. And, you know, I'm not ready to leave, right? So I'm like, no, let's finish what we started. You know what I mean? But so then the car, it gets shoved again. I was like, okay, let's get the hell out of here. Didn't even look to see what it was. Both of us are kind of freaked out. I started realizing that maybe I was stupid for getting out of the car because I don't know what's out there. It could be a Bigfoot for all I know, bro. But, you know, when I get home, I have her drop me off at my dad's and it's like 2 a.m. and my dad is pacing back and forth, man, waiting on me to get home. And he's not like this. My dad is not like, he doesn't worry or, you know, get emotional or anything, but he was emotional, worried, sick. And when I got home, he came towards me and hugged me and he was like, damn, it's good to see you, boy. And I was like, what's all this about? This guy doesn't even tell me he loves me. He's proud of me. Nothing good ever, you know, but he's hugging me with damn near tears in his eyes. He's like, I had a dream that you got attacked by a bear and you died. And it was so real. It was the realest dream I ever had. He goes, you know what I'm talking about? And when he told me that, man, I was about to throw up because I just felt like he saw what happened. You know, I still feel that. I still feel like he saw what was happening. Now, if they're really two different states and they're not connected, then how's, like, I know that was real, man. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, I mean, with my material, you know, I have the You Are Dreaming site, which is the other end of the rabbit hole. The Dreaming for Gamers is for everybody that needs to develop skill sets and stuff to not be so impacted by it. It's the fun side of dreaming. But,
sure,
you know, I mean, there is all these other things we can explore, but you can't explore it if you can't be stable and conscious. If you're caught up in all of the fears and uncertainties, drag in. Yeah, you gotta calm yourself into a very stable, focused, stable state. You know, when we talk about dream stability, and I'll get into it in the course, I'm creating a stable dream environment for you to explore what? Your consciousness, your experience, you in that space. But to calm down the wildness of the subconscious, you have to let go of all of the expectations from our waking world, all the influences, all the belief systems, all the things that are decorating and also painting the dream state. So this course teaches a very, it's very well thought out.
I know what you're saying about the course, Ian, but I'm asking you about what your thoughts are on that
stuff. Yeah, well, there is. I mean, we already know that. We've discussed it so much that the people have intuition and have deja vu. There is a deeper band of the dream experience that is directly interfaced to our waking reality.
But, okay, so I'm glad you said that. You know, well, you have to understand some people are listening to the show that have never heard this you speak before about this. So with knowing that, do you think it's worth time to explore that? Or yeah, because absolutely. You say, well, you know, life is short and all this other stuff. Maybe we should just be having fun with our dreams. And stop trying to answer the mystery so much.
Again, when you try to chase the end of the rabbit hole without the skills, you won't get there. You're not ready.
Yeah.
You have to go through house cleaning. You have to go through orientation. You have to go through being comfortable and having long durations of time in the dream state before you can dig deeper. And sometimes those ends of the rabbit hole experiences don't need to be all the time. They just need to be just enough, you know, just enough to get you where you need to be for the next part of your chapter. Like, for example, when I was able to stop being, you know, but that dream where I almost died in the dream, I got hit by a pickup truck and I had my daughter in my car, was a very real dream. But because
scary.
And so experienced in that main, like, I mean, we're in a probability where I'm still alive, not a probability where I died back in 2014. And only I get to know that. Only I have that reference in my life experiences that, hey, I just avoided getting in that accident that I saw first in the dream.
Right.
And I didn't ask for that. I mean, I heard of other people having that experience. I didn't think it was going to happen to me. And when it happened, I was like, oh my, now I know what that person was talking about. So other people that I've been able to, you know, at least extend, because I mean, the thing with life too is like, you know, it's so crazy because we're all mortal. We're all heading towards our destiny, you know, and our final chapter. And then the speed of life that we travel at and the final stop at the end. Right.
So a couple of things you're saying here, if I'm understanding is, yeah, we've talked about this stuff before. It's cool to explore. It's cool to know precog and deja vu, but you're not going to be able to explore it without developing the skills first. And if you're going to develop the skills to begin with, why not do it in a fun way that you're showing about, right? Like, develop these skills in a fun way where you can have fun with it and do what you want to do. And then, you know, if those things come up or whatever, at least you got the skills to explore them better than the most of us that have atrophied our cognition, you know?
Right. You know, and the thing is, you know, too many people out there are trying to get people to go to the, you know, it's like sitting down and you've mastered the piano and you want to show people how beautiful you can make that symphony, and that's your student. You say, okay, sit down and play what I just played. Well, they're not going to be able to. You're not a good teacher if you're trying to tease everybody with the you know, the prize at the end of the game, right?
Right.
Well, here's the prize at the end of the game, but these aren't the steps to get you there, you know?
Step
this
by
isn't
step.
The work.
Yeah.
You know, people have to self-edify. They have to go through direct experience and they have to shed belief. They have to come into knowing. But they have to come in a way where they can trust it. They can trust themselves, right? And so, you know, that's the kind of goal with making dreams fun. You'll understand it from neuroscience. You'll understand why nightmares are bad, what they're doing to your body, why a pleasant dream is good, and what it's doing to your body. You know, that seeking fun and entertainment in a dream for a beginner is the right way to do it. Going and giving yourself, you know, there's teachers that will teach people SPI, you know, sleep paralysis. This induction for a person that's never had this experience before.
Oh yeah, and they freak out and have a nightmare or something.
They'll never do it again.
Yeah, right.
So the
yeah.
method I'm walking people through is called a sensory replay construction method. And what that does, it keeps your mind off your body as the dream forms around you. If you're going to follow that method, you let it go and drop, you know, as a program interface. So you don't go through the sleeper paralysis. You don't get the false awakening loops. That comes with things like physical muscle relaxation. That comes with things like the military method, you know, things that make you forcefully hard shut your body down first, which you can do, but get ready for the old hag, get ready for the false awakening loops. For a newbie, that can be terrifying. Not that it's a bad thing. For a seasoned person, yeah, who cares? I've been through this 20, 30, 40, 50 times.
Well, we got to listen. Thank you for doing this. Like, this is, we got to roll out of here fast, but
yeah,
yeah, it was
man.
Pleasant to, like, first time we ever did like a double header on anything, night back to back about dreams. Obviously you guys can check out the regular website. It's, youaredreaming.org, right? And then the next one is what we're talking about now is dreamingforgamers.com, right? And what I want to make sure is, don't let me say this wrong, Ian. You use our link from thefringe.fm. I really want you, some of you guys, to do this with me. thefringe.fm/dreamplay, and you're going to get 15% off. You're still going to get the first week free, but you'll get 15% off when you sign up, and then we can all go do this stuff together. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
man.
We got that bundle put together for your show, and it's discounted for sure, so that they get a bit of a break, so they don't have to go and pay that extra little bit, right? So absolutely here to help you guys.
And we'll put all the links in the chat room too. Thanks, Pancho, for making this happen. Thank you guys for listening, wherever you're listening from. You guys in the Fringe FM chat room. The music was from Steezy Stevie and Crone Oaks. Please don't copy the show without written permission. Big shout out to the Fringe FM staff and a big, huge, warm thank you to the patrons of Lighting the Void that keep me doing this night after night. Stay tuned for the Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable tomorrow night. Phoenix Aurelius will be on the program as we discuss alchemy, spagyrics, magic, and the occult. We'll see you guys tomorrow night, same time. Good night.
Staff. Listener discretion is advised.